We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Notre Dame fans, welcome to a special edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. My name is Brian Driscoll. You guys know me. That is Ryan Roberts. You guys know him too. And we're here to talk about the commitment of the pending commitment of Devin Houston, a talented four-star defensive lineman from Maryland, originally from Canada. We'll be deciding today between Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State, and others. We will carry that live, and that will be on the other side of a commercial break. So, Ryan, this is a big one for Notre Dame, obviously. They're trying to put together a really special defensive line class in 2023. And from the really the beginning of the staff taking over, this is a kid that was part of that desired elite class. And Notre Dame is we're going to talk about kind of how the recruitment went down after his decision. You know, but this is one where the staff has really put in a lot of work, and it's going to be evidence of this staff's ability to kind of play from behind sometimes and ideally try to make a commitment or get a picket.
Yeah, now I think that Devin's a really important commitment as well, potentially for Notre Dame, because you already have the defensive ends obviously on board. You have Keon Keeley, who projects the Viper. You have Brendan Vernon, who could be a strong side defensive end, could eventually turn into a three tech in this defense. And you also have Boubacar Traore, who's a very similar player also in that vein, that he could be a strong side end or he could be a full-time three-tech.
Right, let's, let's go to it, Ryan.
Joining us on HQ. Can everybody hear? Official, already smiling ear to ear. And can y'all hear? Can't imagine the emotion right now. First and foremost, congratulations on all the hard work it's taken to get to this very moment. But before we put it on tape, give us an idea of what this recruitment has been like for you.
This recruitment has been nothing short of a blessing for me. Being able to be in the position that I'm in is truly a blessing. And if you told me probably, I think, 9 or 10 months ago that I was going to be in this position, I'd look at you like you had five heads. I mean, just how fast this recruitment process has gone by and honestly how fast it all came into play, it's been truly a blessing. Yeah.
Well, it is one that you have earned, and all of those schools behind you are waiting for me to get out of the way. So let's do it right now. The wait is finally over. The floor is yours, fella. Let the folks know where you're going to be playing with your college ball.
All right. Well, first off, I want to thank my brother. Just honestly, he's shown me what it's like to work hard and really chase after your dreams. I also want to thank my parents, my mom and my dad, just for always supporting me. My dad going to the field with me every single day, working out with me, and just honestly pushing me to be the best person on and off the field I physically can be. And as well as my trainers, Coach Cannon and Coach Alvin, you guys have really shown me what it's like to work hard and push me every day to be a better person and a better man off the field. As well as Coach Rutt, I want to thank you for taking a chance on me and really letting me come to St. James and really letting me flourish and taking a chance on me to be a better man and all that. And as well as Coach D and Mr. Tucker and all the St. James family, just for welcoming me into the school as if it was my own home, as well as just my friends and family. And lastly, Tonka and Kyle for telling me about St. James and putting me really on the map, kind of helping me get to the States and really do my thing. But with that being said, I'll be committing to the University of Notre Dame.
There it is.
There it is. It's WRND for Devin Houston. Congratulations, my man. An exciting moment and a decision that I'm sure came with a lot of thought. And I want you to take me through that process a little bit. What about Coach Freeman's program made ND feel like the right place for you?
I definitely just say the family feel. Coach Freeman, you know, before he even got the head coaching spot, me and him both just had a great connection. And when he got that head coaching spot, he still kept the love the same. And honestly, just what he's doing over there is so special, in my opinion. And just how he's able to bring all these amazing players together to play on one team is truly something special. So that's definitely the reason why.
Well, you get to be a part of something special now as you head to Notre Dame, a special place to play your Saturdays. And that is the top recruiting class in the country that you're joining right now. But I'd be remiss if I did not ask. This is now a house divided. Notre Dame, Michigan, a rivalry I grew up within. I know what that means to both of those fan bases. Did you chop it up with Big Bro? Did you get the blessing? How did that all go down?
I mean, my brother personally, like, he wasn't really swaying me to go either way. He just wanted me to go out happy. And he mainly just said, go where your heart feels and go where you know you'll make some noise and stuff like that. So that's what helped me get to Notre Dame. And he's not really, he doesn't really care. I don't think he doesn't care about the rivalry, but he's more happy than I'm happy. So yeah,
it's a beautiful thing to have not only this commitment in line, but to have the support of your brother. It's so great to see, a testament to your parents as well, who have gotten you both to this point. But your accolades on the field are met by those off of it. I mean, how much did Notre Dame's winning culture in the classroom factor into your decision ultimately?
Oh, it was a huge factor. I mean, they always talk about 4 for 40, and I'm looking in the long run because I know football's only going to last me so long. So, I mean, any way that I can be in the best position possible after football, it was really what I was looking for, and Notre Dame definitely fit that. So that was definitely part of my reason as well.
Well, as someone who grew up Saturdays going to Notre Dame games at Notre Dame Stadium, I could speak for the faithful right now that they're jacked up to have you as a part of this class. But you have the eyes and ears right now of the Irish faithful. Let them know what sort of ball players heading to town.
I think they're getting a really smart ball player. I mean, a really smart guy, very energetic. I don't shut up when I'm on the field. Very positive guy and just a hard worker. I mean, I love to get after it. I love to win. I hate losing. And yeah, just a great teammate, great person, great leader, great player.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing you make some noise in South Bend in the years to come, fella. Congratulations again from us at CBS.
Thank you so much.
My wife is the coffee drinker in our house, so when I told her about trying out Trade Coffee, she was curious. When I told her that if she answered the survey Trade sent me, they could match her with brands she would like, she was downright skeptical. We ended up getting 3 different shipments from 3 regional coffee makers, and let me tell you, she was blown away. My coffee snob wife loved each and every new blend that she got. As a non-coffee drinker myself, I must admit, opening up the cabinet and getting a whiff of her most recent blend was aromatically pleasing. Trade sells the freshest roasted and ethically sourced beans from America's best independent roasters. They ship free to you and as often as you like, whole or ground. Whether you're a coffee connoisseur like my wife or just want a better daily cup, Trade's real coffee experts taste test over 400 roasts and use technology to match you to your ideal coffee based on your preferences and brewing method. Take the coffee quiz to get started. Trade Coffee guarantees you'll love your first bag or they'll replace it for free. And for Irish Breakdown listeners, right now Trade Coffee is offering up to $20 off your first 3 bags when you go to drinktrade.com/Irish. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. To get started, take their quiz at drinktrade.com/Irish and start your journey to perfect cup. That's drinktrade.com/Irish for $20 off your first 3 bags. There it is, Ryan.
There it
is. Notre Dame has landed Devin Houston. That is a big one, literally and figuratively, Ryan. Let's first talk about a little background. I think, first of all, I want to talk about what he just said. I think he speaks to what we have been saying for a while. know, you talked about even before he became the head coach, the relationship he had with Marcus Freeman, right? We're used to hearing that, right? But he made a comment. He talked about – made two comments that really stuck. Number one, obviously, the 4 for 40 thing, the academic piece, when you sell it right, is a huge part of this, right? It is such an important thing. That doesn't surprise us. But it does – look, there are talented players that are big-time players with big-time offers that care about that kind of stuff, as we're seeing. The other comment he made – he talked about the talent that Marcus Freeman is bringing in. And as we've talked about this over and over and over, when you start getting these big-time players in a class, it only makes it easier and easier and easier to add the rest, because in football, more than any other sport, in my opinion, top players want to play with other top players. And Devin Houston just said it right there. I mean, even before the academic piece, he had to be asked about that. And as you – kid goes to St. James. If you think about St. James, that's a really good – small private school. You look at his background, his brother's background. Obviously, academics are very important to him. His brother's a basketball player at Michigan, by the way, which there is no rivalry in basketball between Michigan and Notre Dame that I'm aware of. But right. The fact that he talked about at the very beginning, the relationship, then the fact that there's other big-time players that are already in this class. These kids see that. Other kids see that. And again, it's going to have an impact as they look to try to fill out this class.
Well, I mean, I think you hear me talk about just the game of football a little bit in general, that it's such a momentum built sport, right? Like, I mean, literally one good play can just transpire into a series of good plays, and that could be the difference in a football game. And I think that it's the same on the recruiting trail. You know, it's an avalanche effect. People have been asking us about when the avalanche kind of starts, when the snowball starts. And I think that you're seeing it. I think that you are seeing when you're on a good groove and you have relentless recruiters, the momentum is still going to carry. It's going to keep building. And this is not going to be the last commitment that we see on the defensive side of the football this cycle, in the class in general, maybe not even on the defensive line. So this was a big, big moment for Notre Dame. I know, Brian, before, you know, we had to obviously flip switch real quick to get there. I would argue that this one is maybe the biggest left on the defensive line. And that's no disrespect to Jason Moore, because I think that he's the difference between a really good class and an elite class. What I mean that by that is in a practical approach, because I mentioned before, you have Brendan Vernon and Boubacar Traore. One of those guys is going to fit long-term, most likely at strong side defensive end. The other one's going to be more of a three-tech player inside. And you have Keon Keeley, who's the true viper of the group. But we have seen that there's still – Notre Dame needs to get a little bigger on the inside. And although the nose position in this defense isn't one that you need to be 300-plus pounds necessarily, you still needed a true nose in this class, because – could Brendan Vernon be that eventually? Maybe, but that's still a lot of projection obviously attached to that one. I know that Devin Houston is going to be able to carry enough weight where he's going to be 295, 300 pounds with maintaining that athleticism. So this is a really big one for Notre Dame. There's no question about it.
I get where you're coming from, Ryan, as far as the biggest. Yep. And I accept it from the standpoint of this is big because from the biggest need. I think this is the biggest D-line commitment left from a need standpoint. I still think anytime you can land a player as elite, and this is not – you are not pushing back on this, because you and I both agree that Jason Moore is a top 50 player. It just – but this is the – like you said, this is the guy that filled a need, a biggest need, and that is a guy that can play the nose. And we'll dive into the film here in a little bit when we break down Devin's game. You know, we'll kind of talk about what we like and what we see and all those type of things, and we'll get into that here in a few. But yes, in this defense, he's a nose. I'll say this, and I'm curious if you agree with me on this. And we'll see this more when we look at the film. He's a three technique in most defenses that are geared towards gap control and, you know, having guys that can play that position. I think he fits the nose in what Notre Dame tries to do, but I don't think he's pigeonholed into the nose at all. I mean, there's other things he could do. But to your point, I think he's a nose first, then can be a three. And in high school, he plays five technique. I mean, and there's a play where he does a really nice inside spin move to get to the quarterback. So I think he's a nose because he fits that what they want out of that position, you know, size, power, penetrating ability to close in a football. But he's not a nose in that he can't play something else. And I think that only adds to the value of landing a kid like Devin Houston at this point in time in this recruiting class.
And I would love to get your perspective on this, Brian, because I know we have guys, Notre Dame has guys like Howard Cross, obviously, Jacob Lacey that can play the nose, and they're a little bit of smaller guys, and they have penetration ability, obviously, because of the quick first step. But that penetration ability is more as a run defender, right? Like, I think Devin Houston, with the length that he has now that's going to be able to play nose. He gives you some upside, I think, as a pass rusher from that position that doesn't usually have pass rushing ability. So I think that that's the difference and the, I don't want to call it an upgrade, but it's just going to be a different stylistic approach to playing the nose tackle position. I think Devin's going to be able to give you potential to not only impact the run game, which a nose needs to do, but also have that penetration ability and have pass rush potential too from that position.
I'm smiling because I like the fact that we're on the same page. Here's what I wrote. I just published this literally as you were talking. Here's what I wrote in my class impact and my commit profile. Right now, he's an even better pass rusher than a run defender. But with continued enhancement from a technical and consistency standpoint, I see Houston developing into an impact run defender at the next level as well, one making plays in the backfield. I actually think he, yes, you are correct. I think he right now is a better pass rusher than he is even a run defender right now. Yep. Which again, in the run defending pass, but there's just some technical things as a junior in high school I want to see him improve upon. And from what I understand, he's still pretty new to football. He hasn't been playing football a long time. His family moved from Canada. So, you know, there's some things to work on there. But the natural potential is there for him to be a really good run defender. But as of right now, he's a better pass rusher. I mean, he played 8 games last year. They play a private school league in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. They only played 8 games as a team. So he played all 8 games. He had 15.5 tackles for loss. But he had 7.5 sacks. Last year, and he plays offensive line, which we're going to watch some offensive line film as we go through this as well, because there's one particular game, like one of those, you know, those game highlights that they show that they'll have like on Huddle. There's one where he's playing. It's a couple minute long, just a game clip highlight clip. And you see him making a lot, some blocks that kind of show some impressive ability from him. So I agree with you, Ryan. That's one of the things I really like about this kid is I think what are we talking about? If you can rush the quarterback right up the middle, you can be really good. And now you have a nose tackle that I believe can bring pass rushing ability to the table. And he's 6'5". And he doesn't have the length of the other guys in the class, but it's still above average. I mean, to me, his length is still above average. And then when you put that on top of a 6'5 player, like we talk about height doesn't matter when it comes to engaging a blocker. Right? It's the length that matters. Where height does matter, and this impacts Notre Dame, is when you're trying to fill a pass lane and the quarterback's throwing the ball, right? Because if my shoulders are already 3 inches ahead, if I'm 6'5 and my shoulders are 3 inches ahead of yours, right, you're going to need to have more than 3 inches of length on me to be more impactful there. And that's where I think he adds something as well from a disruption standpoint. And so, again, this is a really big pickup. Let's dive into a little bit of the backstory of this recruitment first, because I want to share with people. First of all, Devin Houston committed to Notre Dame a few weeks ago. So this is a kid that's been in the class a little while. And it was a really, really interesting recruitment because he was a guy that they offered last October. His brother, as they talked about, Caleb Houston, was a 5-star recruit. He played at Monteverde Academy, which is just it's like a even better version of IMG for basketball down there, right? I mean, it's unbelievable. They're like 9 Division I kids on their team a couple of years ago, including like Cade Cunningham and Caleb Houston and some other guys. There was a kid that signed with Michigan, Zeb Jackson, who was a backup at Monteverde a couple of years ago. It's really insane. And that's where his brother went. His brother went to Michigan, and I love the fact he's like, yeah, my brother doesn't care. It's like he's a basketball player. He's not there because he loves Michigan. He's there because he thinks Juwan Howard's going to get him into the lottery. That's why he went to Michigan, you know?
Sure.
So I thought that was interesting. But Notre Dame offered him last October. Mike Elston had developed a really good relationship with Caleb, like really strong relationship. And before Mike Elston left, we thought Notre Dame was in a pretty good standing with Caleb, you know, where I really thought if they weren't the team to beat, they were at least emerging as a potential team to beat. Visited in January on the weekend of the 29th. And yeah, obviously Mike Elson left at one point in time and Notre Dame kind of fell behind a little bit because you're starting from scratch. Then there's a period of time where Mike Elson leaves and you don't have a D-line coach. Al Washington comes in. He's kind of starting from scratch. They weren't recruiting this kid at Ohio State, which, you know, I think is a mistake, but we can get into that a whole nother day. But he didn't have, and Al Washington was a coaching linebacker, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So he comes in, there's no relationship there. His brother's at Hughes at Michigan. Then Mike Elston leaves for Michigan, who had built that relationship, and Michigan became the team to beat at that time. Notre Dame just kept chipping away pretty early on. Al Washington got on him pretty quickly. and just started chipping away and chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. And here's the crazy thing. He hasn't been back on campus since January, I don't believe. And so they were able to beat Michigan for him despite not getting him back on campus. He's been to Michigan since Mike Elston went to Michigan because there's a picture of them standing together in, at Michigan. So yeah, Notre Dame was still able to beat Michigan for Devin, despite the fact that since you know the changeover happened, he hasn't been back to campus since January. Really, truly impressive job. And it was Al Washington. It was Marcus Freeman. It was Chad Bowden. It was the – I mean, the staff has done a great job. And as always, it's a teamwork thing with the staff. But Al Washington deserves a lot of credit for this. This is now two – he's now kind of taking the lead in the new coach commit race. You know what I mean? Like, he's got now – you know, two really talented players on the board. Obviously, he got, you know, was played a big role in getting Boubacar Traore. Now Devin Houston to add to what was already an excellent foundation that he inherited with Keon Keeley and Brandon Vernon. So that's a little bit of a backstory to that recruitment. And then, of course, you know, he commits the weekend of Mother's Day and all that kind of stuff. So this is a big one, and this is why we have said for a while that we felt Notre Dame was in the driver's seat because he was – one of the silent commits that we were aware of. So big pickup for Al Washington. And he's pretty quickly proving to be an incredible force on the recruiting trail so far.
Yeah, no, it's really impressive what they have done as a staff with this recruitment. I mean, like you said, the fact that he got back to Michigan, his brother is a Michigan student, and Coach Elston left from Notre Dame to the University of Michigan. When you stack those together and you, again, like you said, hasn't been back to Notre Dame since January, you would think that Notre Dame would have, I mean, that Michigan would have been in the driving seat, which it seemed like they were. I mean, after that visit, I was a little worried, to be honest with you. I felt good about everything that they were, you know, doing with Devin up until that point. But the fact that that was the school that he went back and visited, he has some ties to him. And I think it speaks volumes, the fact that Notre Dame was able to destroy that momentum from the Michigan side of things, despite not getting back on campus. So, yeah, I want to give Al Washington a huge shout out here because I think three of the last four commitments are from him, right? Brandon Davis Swain.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him. I forgot about Pendleton, the 2024 kid. Yeah.
Yep. Boubacar Traore, and now of course we have Devin Houston.
Sam Pendleton being the only exception. I think that's something too because a buddy of mine texted me earlier today and he said, you know, I think Coach Washington gets it. You have to dominate. You have to dominate in the trenches. And I think there's teams that we've seen. You know, Clemson won two titles without dominating the trenches on both sides of the ball. They dominated on the trenches on one side of the ball, but not both. But I think Notre Dame is unique in that Notre Dame is never going to be able to out-athlete the best teams. They can stack up athletically, right? And we've seen them do that, but they're never going to have the depth of just elite athletes. They have to be able to neutralize that in the trenches. And that's the thing that's hurt them against Georgia and Alabama in their matchups against Georgia and Alabama is they could not beat those teams in the trenches. And I mean, they could, in 2020, I think when I look at the matchup, I feel like Notre Dame was able to stalemate Alabama on both sides of the ball. Like the Lions did some good things. I mean, Notre Dame ran for, it was about 140 yards in the first half against Alabama. Or, you know, I mean, the defensive line actually played pretty well. If you go back and watch the film, the D line more than held their own against Bama, did the same thing in 2012. The problem is that they're not able to win in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And that's where they got to get to. And so when you talk about the last four commitments coming from linemen, three on defense, one on offense, there's another top Notre Dame target who's a lineman that's going to be making his decision next Friday. It's clear that people are – that Marcus Freeman and his staff understand that, look, we've got to not just be good here, we've got to dominate here. And the level of talent that Notre Dame has added to the defensive line since Marcus Freeman arrived, because we're excited about the 2023 class, but let's not forget they got a kid named Tyson Ford and a kid named Aiden Gobira that showed up already who are really good football players. And it just shows that that like you said, Coach Freeman gets it. And that's a big thing. Big thing.
Well, can you imagine in a couple years, Brian, because I think the one thing that you talk about at the University of Georgia is, you know, Jordan Davis went 14th overall or 13th overall pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. He didn't play a majority of the snaps, right? Like, you take him off the field, Here comes this other great player. I think, do you remember Julian Rochester, who was like a pretty good recruit?
Yeah.
And he's, I mean, he's a relegated backup on Georgia this past year, right? And Jalen Carter and Trevon Walker and Adam Anderson before his incident and Nolan Smith. Like, they just have guys that they just throw out there. In a couple years, in theory, you're going to have guys like Gobira and Keeley. And, oh, they're going to come out of the game. Well, maybe you still have Brendan Vernon out there if they're mixing in particular spots. And there's going to be waves of defensive linemen. I think that's where the best teams are built. When Alabama has been at its absolute best, they just had waves of dudes. They just waves of them up front. Same thing with Georgia. Georgia this past year, the biggest thing about Georgia was, yes, all really good football players, there's no doubt, but they just had so many of them. It's the depth piece to everything. And this defensive line in a couple of years is going to be scary for Notre Dame.
Especially if they're still able to add Jason Moore to this mix, which they're trying to do. And that, look, there's really one D lineman left on the board. We'll talk about that here down in a little bit, part of the show. But I think our guy Kay Grant loved the super chat. Thank you so much for that. Shopping down a different island deed. Hashtag Freeman. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And here's something else to observe about this defensive line class that they're putting together, not just this year, but last year. And we've talked about this a bunch, Ryan. They are focusing not just on athleticism and talent, but size. And that's the thing is, like, you watch Devin Houston. We'll dive into the film here in a minute, but the kid can move, but he's big. He's 6'4 plus. He listed at 6'5, 270. He told me he's 275. But the thing you got to understand, he plays basketball. He plays basketball at St. James. And if you watch his basketball clips, Ryan asked me what did I think of him. I don't think – have you watched him since we talked? I doubt it. It wasn't that long ago.
Not yet.
But it's like, you know, you see his nimbleness. He's got some skill. There's a play where he's kind of driving and he kind of throws a backdoor cut. But, you know, I said he plays basketball like a nose guard. He's just a big physical kid, you know what I mean? But you can see the footwork, right? Once he stops playing basketball again, you're going to see 15, 20 pounds going on like that. And he's going to be a, you know, 6'4 and a half, 6'5, 290 plus guy pretty early in his career with long arms and quickness and power. Brendan Vernon's already up probably over 275. Keon Keeley's up to 240. Boubacar Traore, 6'4 plus, 255. He's got a great frame. Jason Moore, 6'6, 260. Tyson Ford, 6'4 and a half, 265 already. Aiden Gobira, 6'6, 230 already, and skinny. Like, they are adding an exceptional length, not just size. And I think that is so important in today's game. And then you look at Alabama and all those edge guys they have, they're all like 6'4 plus with long arms, right? And that's what Clemson has been doing to teams for years. And Notre Dame is doing that now. And this combination of Marcus Freeman and now Washington so far has been impressive when it comes to putting really talented defensive lineman to go. Because here's the thing. This is the lowest ranked kid they've landed so far. He's the number 192 in the player in the country. He's the fourth lowest. He's of four defensive linemen, he's the lowest ranked. He's number 192 in the country. He's a top 200 recruit. Two of the services have him in the 180s. And Rivals doesn't have him ranked in the top 250, which is silly. But the other two have him in the 180s. So this is a big-time pickup, Ryan. And in any way, that you look at it, any way you evaluate it, this is a big one for Notre Dame.
And I know people always ask us about Harry Hiestand, jumping over the other side of the ball, his ideology to take mostly tackles at the high school level, move them into inside players, interior players. Well, we're seeing that in this cycle right now on the defensive line, Brian. Like, all these kids play defensive end at their high school. Like, we're not seeing any of these players that play majority in the interior. And it's about projecting those traits. I mean, Devin Houston, I think that on a lot of programs across the country, could probably play strong side defensive end. He could probably play strong side defensive end at a pinch at Notre Dame. But the fact of the matter is he's going to go from a flexible enough athlete outside, good enough quickness outside, to being a plus player in both those marks on the interior, which I wouldn't be surprised if Devin Houston, despite, like you said, being the fourth ranked player on the defensive line in this class, if he comes in, and he plays a little bit as a freshman because he has interior rush potential from the nose. Like, that's going to be valuable for him.
Right. I don't view any of these guys as five-year players. None of them so far. And there's nothing wrong. Like, Aiden Gobira, I could see as a five-year guy just because he's got so much physical development that's needed. But, like, Tyson Ford and the four kids they have now, they're not five-year players, in my opinion. Barring injury, you know, needing a medical year, they're not five-year guys. And as Sid Irish pointed out, you know, your D-line, this class is 6'6", 6'5", 6'4", and 6'5". And the guy that's 6'4", has an 80-inch wingspan. So that's Boubacar Traore. So certainly adding a great deal of size. ABC, I love this. ABC, I'm just going to say ABC Def. I know it's DEF. That's great. Congrats to Devin and his family. Thank you for the super chat very, very, very much. Charlie Weiss's last belt loop. Thank you for the super chat. Michigan fans checking into the ER. Go Irish. I think that's the final piece. Obviously, it's always nice to go beat Michigan for a recruit. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not going to lie. I have nothing but respect for Mike Elston. But look, he chose to leave and go play for the enemy, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. And Notre Dame is now, what, 2-0 against him in one-on-one battles? Well, actually 3-0 because Michigan tried to get involved in Boubacar Traore too. That was he visited Michigan. That was the only other school he visited that I'm aware of. So Al Washington is now 3-0 in the last month against Mike Elston. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't enjoy that, right? And that doesn't mean I don't respect Coach Delson and appreciate what he did for Notre Dame the last 12 years. I do. But, you know, when you make the decision to go play, you know, be at Michigan, sorry, you know, I'm rooting for your I'm not rooting for your success in that regard against Notre Dame. So big pickup for Notre Dame, Ryan.
And let's also not forget the simple fact that now that Devin Houston's in the class, Notre Dame has officially gotten back into that Maryland, D.C. area that we've been talking about them tapping into in this class. And now, full sights ahead. I think someone mentioned this in the chat. Your defensive line class is basically done. There's one more big cog to the machine that they're going to be targeting, of course. And I don't want to take the onus off of Devin Houston because this is his day and we're here to celebrate his commitment. But now you have one player left in this class. Mm-hmm. That's Jason Moore, and that completes – what would be the best defensive line class in the class? And Devin Houston, of course, is a big part of that.
Jason Moore would be huge, obviously. And look, here's the thing. You've got four guys committed by May 7th, which means the staff now can focus all their D-line energy in this class on Jason Moore. And he's going to visit in just over a month, June 10th. Ryan, I know you like where Notre Dame is, I'd be curious to get your opinion on this, and we'll dive back into Devin here. We're going to watch some film. But I said yesterday that I think that Notre Dame is the leader, but I don't think they're the leader to the degree that he's not. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that he goes somewhere else and falls in love. I think it's close enough. I think they're the leader, but not like we thought with, you know, Devin Houston or you know, even some other guys that haven't committed yet. But now you've got a kid that's not too far from him, another Maryland kid that you're able to kind of say, hey, look, man, look what we're doing. And as Devin just pointed out, he's like, look what they're building, right? I mean, you look at what Notre Dame's building, with all due respect. I mean, you can go to Ohio State and, you know, they're doing some good things recruiting the D-line, but right now you look at the 2021-2 and 2023 classes, they're not out recruiting Notre Dame up front. You know what I mean? And at the very least, it's a stalemate at linebacker. And I would give them the edge to Notre Dame when you put 22 and 23 together.
Yeah.
So you've got a good thing to sell Jason Moore. Like, hey, man, you're not going to be catching no double teams at Notre Dame, buddy. You know what I mean? So they're going to be too busy thinking about Keon and Tyson and Boubacar and Devin and Brennan and all these other guys. You know, you're going to come here whether it's nose, 3, 5, 7, whatever. Whatever position we put you at, you're going to be catching one-on-ones.
Yeah,
and exactly. It's a great, great selling point. But you had said something at the beginning, Ryan, and we're going to talk about this as we pull up the film. But you said something at the very beginning that I think needs to be discussed, and that is, this is a huge commitment from a need standpoint.
Yeah.
Because the thing about Devin Houston is we believe he can be a nose in this defense. I don't know if Donovan Hynish can be a nose in this defense. He can be in the way that Howard Cross is. But I believe that ideally Notre Dame wants to get more mass up front. And Devin Houston is certainly a huge, huge step to that. So when you talk about need at the position, and then you talk about the fact that Aiden Keanu'ana, who was one of the only pure noses on the roster, just tore his knee up, and we don't know how he's going to respond to that and recover from that. And he didn't have a lot of experience to begin with. So having a guy that can play the nose, not a guy that you could move to nose like Brennan Vernon or Boubacar, maybe they could move to nose if you needed it. But I don't think we ever thought about that was their ideal. Maybe he could play it, but it's not ideal. I think as you project the positions that Devin can play, yes, he can play both inside spots, but I really like him at that nose spot. That adds even more value to what you're getting from Devin Houston.
Yeah, I think what we've seen consistently across the board for 2023 is I think all these players could project to a couple different spots. I mean, even Keon Keeley, who is a preferred Viper, obviously. I could see a world where he's 265 pounds and he could be a strong side defensive end. Like he has that type of profile as well. I like the fact that Notre Dame is purely targeted long athletic defensive linemen that can project to two different spots. There's no true nose, quote unquote, in this class, but there might be a couple of guys that end up being nose. It doesn't really matter ultimately, because we know in this defense that Al Golden's going to be running with the Marcus Freeman influence. They are going to want to attack. This is not a two-gapping system. This is not a, we're going to stalemate the line of scrimmage, linebackers make all the plays. Notre Dame's defensive line is going to go after the football. And whether that ultimately means that Devin Houston is a three-tech or a nose tackle, or Brendan Vernon is a strong side defensive end or a three-tech or a nose tackle, or whether Jason Moore gets into the class eventually and he is a strong side defensive end or three-tech, it doesn't really matter. All I know is that these guys are long, athletic, and they are going to attack, which I think is a nice change, to say the least.
And the whole time, you've got to worry about the best of the bunch, Keon Keeley, on the weak side. That's the thing. Like, that's what makes this class really, really unique. And look, getting a kid like this and getting Boubacar and getting Brendan Vernon, and if you're able to add Jason Moore, only makes it easier and easier to make sure that Keon wants to be a part of this. Because when you can say, hey, you can go to Alabama and they're not going to have a D-line class like the one you're a part of. You can go to Ohio State, Florida, they're not going to have the D-line class like the one you're a part of. Where else can you almost guarantee that you're going to get one-on-one blocking as much as possible? Bronx ND fan with a super chat. Saturdays with IB Nation and commitments. Let's make this a habit. I'm all for that. I support that thought tremendously. Ryan, let's do it. Let's dive into some film. All right. So as you watch this film, we're gonna pull this whole thing up here. You don't need to see us. You still don't need to see us. You're gonna see Devin wearing two different numbers in this film. He's gonna be wearing number 72 at times and number 8 at times. That's partly because there are some games where he plays offensive line, and when in those games he has to wear number 72. So you'll also notice, Ryan, as you can see right here in this film, right there, that is Devin. He's gonna play a lot of five technique in this film, a lot on the edge. He'll play inside at times, but he actually, when you pop in the film, he actually plays more edge in a three down than he does, and even sometimes in a four down than he does playing inside and over the nose. So that'll obviously be something that'll be kind of part of his evolution, but kind of growing inside. But I think that speaks volumes, the fact that this kid can play outside. Here he is wearing number 72. Here he is also, that's four down front playing on the edge. Now, right there, now that's Devin's 6'4", 265, right? Look at this kid. That kid is pretty close in size to Devin Houston, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that stands out to me about him beyond the size is he has powerful and fast hands.
Like, look at that. There.
I mean, jolts him. One hand. Ryan, like, look at that. Bam, just knocks him back and gets off. His potential for block destruction as more consistency comes from a technique is enormous. And that's another reason I love him as a nose. It's you might want to block that 72 guy.
Would be advised.
Just saying. This is one. Look at this burst off the edge. This is a kid that you're talking about being a nose tackle. Now, what you see here is two things. Number one, really good initial quickness. Number two, this is why he's more of an interior guy. The gear, once it gets around the edge, is not what it is with Boubacar and Brennan and those other guys, right? Yeah. That's more of an interior burst right there than it is an edge burst. But as a run defender,
a little bit of hip tightness. I was just going to say a little bit of hip tightness, which is fine.
I just think inside. He's a bigger guy. You know, he's just not that. He doesn't have that speed that you see. But look at this. Look at him. Look at him hustling. Love it. This is against Woodbury Forest. If some of you, a longtime recruit Knicks, recognize this field and this uniforms, this is where Greer Martini and CJ Procise played high school football, is who they're playing against right here. Woodbury Forest in Virginia.
He can run a little bit. He can run a little bit.
Yeah. As you can see here, good length, but not the same kind of elite length like some of the other guys. But he's definitely got at least above average. Look how quick, fast his hands are, though, Ryan. This is what I was talking about earlier. They're not just strong, they're quick.
Yep. Like, and while I wouldn't call him, again, the most flexible player of all time, I will say he's twitchy for his size, though. He's got really nice bursts for his player his size.
But I think that you talk about flexibility. I think that's why he fits inside because it fits well. I mean, he moves just fine for an interior guy at a three technique or a nose, and that's just another reason why he's an inside guy. You had mentioned he could play on the edge. As a run defender, absolutely. Yep. Now, this is something that I marked in my notes that I want to see him get a little bit better at. He does have a tendency to – at times he gets his pads high. Like, this is on his highlight. This is not a highlight, right? Like, this is not a great play by him. But that's good. I want to see it. Like, he'll lift up, you know, peeking in the backfield. I like the eye discipline, right? But he's got to learn to keep those pads low. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that from him a few times where he kind of lifts up and doesn't quite have the same, the same kind of get off. Like right here, keeps those pads low and just really eats up ground, gets off the ball in a hurry, gets into that kid, and just you see him go face to face, and then you see that separation where that kid just gets rocked back. This kid's really good, and he finishes pretty well at the quarterback too, which I like.
Yeah, I think he has a really nice closing burst for his size.
Yeah.
A little spin
this
there.
Him, this is him wearing number 8. I like this move.
I love defensive linemen with the single digits, by the way. I don't know if you do.
Watch the left hand on this. As he spins around, he reaches that left arm back to hook to make sure that guy can't get his hands back on him. That's a really instinctive feel right there with his hands. That's a really impressive play. Really impressive play. That offensive lineman actually does a decent job of staying on him from behind and kind of pushing him from behind and knocking him down. It should be a penalty, but good compete by that kid.
Here he is working
playing
inside.
Yeah, he's playing left tackle right here. This is an offensive clip. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch some offense later because on offense is when you really see him striking. Like, it's really impressive to watch him striking on offense. He just bench. People say bench press isn't important. I disagree. I think the wide bench press isn't important, but I think one of the most important lifts for a lineman is the close grip bench, and that's what you see from stuff like that. He's got really strong. He can just rock a guy back.
Like you said, I think his biggest plus in the run game down the road is going to be block destruction because he's just got such nice hands. Then his flexibility inside, especially, I think he's going to be able to get off a lot of blocks.
Yeah. Once the technique catches up to the natural ability, you're going to see him really hard to block. And again, look at the feel for this. Just like, you know, this is a little tiny kid, but I just look at the footwork, look at the hands. Right. Like I'm not impressed with him winning this because that kid looks like a, I mean, look, it's itty bitty, but it's of being able to evaluate the traits and the tools. That's what you look for.
Right. And if you have the clear advantage, you want him to win. And he won.
Right. He won a lot in this game. It was kind of sad. You go watch the full highlights. Here he's playing offensive left tackle again. And I love the fact that he's played offensive line. I don't think he could play it at a Notre Dame level, but he could play offensive line if he wanted to.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a better defensive lineman, but yeah. In this Woodbury game, he also recovered a blocked punt for a touchdown. I don't remember if it was in the highlights or not. Little slow get off there because he lifts a little bit there. You see that? That's what I'm talking about, Ryan. He gets a little bit of that lift where his feet aren't really covering a lot of ground. He stands up.
But you can still see those hands, man. He can jolt some dudes.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I think, and you can really see it in the individual game highlights, which I would encourage everybody to go watch because there's a lot more of those than here. But it is in the highlight. The thing I like, you listen to him talk, right? And he's a really nice, polite kid. Comes from a great family. I mean, you saw his mom and dad there. Just Ryan, you've talked to the mom. Sounds like a really nice lady. And, you know, I mean, just good background, all that kind of stuff. But then you watch him play and you're like, that doesn't look like the kid I just listened to talk.
Right?
Like really polite. Yes, sir. No, sir.
Well-mannered.
Kind of gentle voice. And then you watch him play and you're like, this kid's mean. Like this kid has some ferocity to him. Like he is not nice to these poor kids he's going against. Watch a couple more of these, and then I want to get to the offensive line film. Look at that. That's impressive. That's him blocking. Like, goodness gracious. The quick, you can, I don't know if y'all can see it, but the quickness off the ball is what I'm looking for here. He's got some really nice feet. When his footwork is sound, he's got some really nice feet. We're going to watch a couple more plays here, and then I want to dive to the offensive line film.
I mean, like you said, he's definitely a better defensive lineman than offensive lineman. But, yeah, I wouldn't put it past Coach Heaston taking a look at a couple of these and being like,
yeah. Hmm. Hey, look, y'all stole Jerry Tillery from me. All right, I owe you one. All right. Right. But with the offensive line class that Coach Heaston's going to be putting together, we think this year he may not have to. I want to watch some of these highlights here that of him playing. This there's some defensive clips in here too, Ryan, but it's a lot of offensive line clips. And I want you all in this particular game to focus on a couple things. Number one, his foot quickness. Number two, his punch and just his power. And you can see his kind of his demeanor. Right? Like, this is an athletic kid, like, that plays with some ferocity, and the hand strength is just really impressive.
Yep. What
the heck happened to that kid? He must be shook. Look, this poor guy. I don't know what, sniped or something. I don't know what happened to him. He got, somebody punch him in the junk or something like that? Like, that's what it kind of looks like.
That's a nut shot.
Or poked in the eye, maybe. Who knows? Look at this. This is one of my favorite plays. Watch this. Helmet gets knocked off. He does not give two rips about that. He is going to drive you all the way back in the end zone. Look at that. The ball's at the 4-yard line?
Yep.
Right? Helmet immediately comes off, and he drives this defensive end literally into the back of the end zone. Like, okay. That's not the soft-spoken kid that we just saw on do his commitment video, right? And I love when that switch can get turned on. Absolutely love it. But this – I really like this offense. Again, when I talk about liking his offensive line film, I'm not talking about as being an offensive lineman. I'm simply talking about you can see the toughness, the physicality, the quickness, the hand strength. You know, it's a really impressive thing to watch. Just rocks that kid.
Yeah, he doesn't even keep his feet moving either. That's just pure core strength right there.
Pure strength.
I feel bad for some of these teams because it looks like a little bit of a lower level, obviously. So a lot of these kids are playing both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
A lot of these kids are probably like, oh, man.
The really rich private schools. Too. Yeah. It's like Sidwell Friends and, like, you know what I mean? Like St. Pius. Like, these are some really a lot of these kids come from good backgrounds. Let's just say that. Good financial. Let me rephrase that. Good financial backgrounds is what I'm referring to.
Right. Just every play though, Brian, even when he's on offense, he just has and I feel like his punch location is pretty solid too. Like,
he keeps his hands really tight. Spot. Correct. Yeah. He does a nice job of keeping his hands tight. I just kind of chuckled this one because we just got done saying like this kid doesn't have the length that the other guys does, but, and it's true, but look, I mean, it's not exactly a short arm dude. You know what I mean?
He's got good length. He's got good length for the interior. Yeah, yep.
Compared to those other freaks in the class, you know, maybe not as much, but you can just see they value that, and it's really impressive.
I mean, that's a good way to describe it, though. Notre Dame has a bunch of freak shows on the defensive line.
It really
line
just
in this class.
From a length standpoint, it's absurd. It really is absurd. So that's a quick film breakdown of Devin Houston. Obviously, you see size, you see foot quickness. Ryan, I want you to watch some of that basketball clips later and just see him moving around. Just like, again, he's not a basketball player, but you know, when you're talking about getting your intramural squad together and you need a big, that's just going to go down there and defend, block shots and rebound and, you know, knock down the occasional backdoor cut. Maybe he's left-handed because there's a couple of times he drives to the hoop, catches the ball and puts it up left-handed and knocks it in, like, you know, at the line or in the lane. But you can see the foot quickness, you see the length, you see the agility, you see the demeanor. I think that's another thing. He plays with an edge. We saw that from Boubacar. We saw that from Brendan Vernon. We see it from Keon. We see it from Devin. It's not just being talented, but do you play with the intensity that we need to have here? And that's another aspect of it that is really impressive. So that's Devin Houston. That's breaking down his film. So obviously a big time pickup for Notre Dame in a lot of different ways.
You know, he reminds me of Brian. I don't know if you like this comp or not, but he reminds me of Sam Mustipher's little brother, PJ. I kind of get vibes there. I get vibes. I don't know.
A little bit more athletic, I think, the PJ was.
A little bit. PJ's a little bigger, but like the vibes
of the
power.
The demeanor, the body type. Mm-hmm. You know, like he looks a lot like PJ did physically size-wise as a junior. If you go back, because PJ didn't go to the same high school that Sam did, and I can't remember what high school he went to. But PJ, very similar body type. I'd say that PJ was thicker. I think Devin's a little bit more athletic, but they were very similar. Mike Elko did a lot of good things at Notre Dame, like a lot of good things in just a year. But he made two huge mistakes during his evaluation period. He did not like two kids in the same class. He did not like PJ Mustipher, and he did not like George Karloftis. I think actually they were in two different classes. But yeah, he did not like George Karloftis or PJ. Yeah, they were two different classes, but he didn't like either one of those. And he was putting together that 2019 class. And Mike Elston didn't like George Karloftis either. They thought PJ was an offensive lineman, which, wow. Yeah, exactly. But this staff didn't make that mistake. And I love the fact that there were people on the staff that really believed strongly that they need to go to five men in this year, and they fought for it. And mm-hmm. I like that they fought for we got a chance to have a game-changing defensive line class. Because if Notre Dame decided they were only going to go to four, this is a kid they were still going to take. It would have been the last kid they got, Boubacar, that they wouldn't have taken. They were going to take Devin Houston because of his positional fit. And that also says a lot about him, that they were willing to not take Boubacar if they couldn't get to five. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were able to push to five is really just impressive in regards to being able to put this group together. So big, big pickup, Ryan. It's a big one. So, and then, you know, go ahead, Ryan. No, go.
No, I was just going to say to the point of loading up on the offensive and defensive line in numbers consistently, right? Like, we know that Notre Dame has to close the gap at defensive back. They have to close the gap at wide receiver at the skill positions. Like, we're very well aware of that, watching them play in Alabama, Georgia, so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that football is always dictated up front. And Notre Dame has continued to do that. Like, four great defensive linemen in the class, potentially pushing it to five. Again, this is how the best teams in college football historically are built. No matter what era you play in, whether it is the passing era that we're playing in now, or we're in the, you know, the double wing, triple option era in the old days, right? Like, it's always one in the trenches. So Notre Dame continues to load up on those guys. I don't think that's going to be an issue for the near future.
Yeah. And what we always do on this part of the show, and we'll take some questions here as we wrap up, but what we always do at this part of the show, Ryan, is we kind of do a, so what's next for Notre Dame? And the interesting thing is the what's next is twofold. 2023, mm-hmm. we kind of already talked about it, Ryan. It's Jason Moore bust. And one of the comments was, you know, now Notre Dame can kind of, you know, put some pressure on other guys they fill up. That they're not going to do that. It's they've basically said, hey, Jason, here's what it is. Here's what awaits you. Do you want to be on board or not? You know, so there's not any pressure to fill up because there's nobody else on the board. They offered a kid from, you know, from Maryland, another kid from Maryland who's a top 200 kid. They offered, was it Colton? I forget his last name. The kid from Texas.
Vasek.
They offered him and you know, liked him, but it's just kind of like, look, we just like these other kids better. And then when they were able to make some headway with Boubacar and obviously able to convince Devin that, you know, to jump on board. And obviously it's like, look, with all due respect to those kids, we're not going to play that game. Where we're going to try to pretend that Jason, you know, because Jason Moore's kind of a good kid that's good enough to say, hey, fine, if you don't have room for me, peace out. You know right. what I mean? Right. Like, that's cool. I think what it does is not that it puts – and I think Sid Irish thinks the one who made that comment. I think he's right in a lot of instances that once you start to fill up, because we've talked about this, you can start saying, hey, man, do you want to be on board or not? It's just that with this particular situation, they're just not playing that game. They're just like, look, man, you know we love you. You know we want you. We got one spot left. It's saved for you. Let's get this thing done. And that's what they're focusing on. So not that that angle is wrong, because I think it works and they're using it at other positions. But in this particular position, I think they chose to go a different direction to kind of say, you know, they did it a little bit early, like, hey, you know, we've got four spots and there's five guys that want to be on board. But right. I think they pretty quickly realized, like, that's probably not the way to go. I don't know if that's the best strategy here. Let's just tell all these kids, hey, you're the guys we want. We want all of you. Mm-hmm. And let's make it work. And they did that. And I think so far it's worked out. So that's obviously part of it where, you know, now you can all your attention, you know, get Drake and Keon and Brennan and now Devin and Bubakar, and you saw Bubakar tweet something out to Devin Houston the other day, right? Or not like Bubakar tweeted out, but like the graphic was made for him and he tweeted it out like they've been doing, like, hey, you're next. You know, we saw Peyton Bowen right. and Adon Schuler do that with Christian Gray, which I love. But you're going to see all those kids, Preston Zinter, all of them, Drake Bowen. Hey, Jason, you're the missing link. You're it. You know, you're the next guy. So you've got now a month for Notre Dame. You've got a month to really make a splash with Devin, with Jason Moore and wrap this thing up. I think that's really, really the key at this point in time. So, yeah.
And Brian, if I could pull up real quick, I wanted to pull up Sid Irish's comments real quick. He says, so if Notre Dame gets Jason Moore, did they bat 1,000? Yes, right. And yes. Yeah, I mean, because I think there's some, yeah, I think there's some positions where you could say they batted very highly, but like there's maybe one guy they would have liked to get that maybe they couldn't get. But I mean, literally, this if they get Jason Moore, that is the ideal class and also became the realistic class all in one. Like crazy.
If you look at like offensive line, right? Like if they get Monroe Freeling, Charles Jagasol, and Sullivan Abshire. That's a heck of an offensive line class. But you could say, look, they didn't really bat 1,000 because they also wanted Samson Okunlola. If you look at receiver, if they get Jaden Greathouse, Rodney Gallagher, Ronan Hannafin, you're like, man, that's a phenomenal. That's a great receiver class. But they wanted Carnell Tate, right? So you did a great job, and you know you could argue you batted 1,000 of the guys that were kind of on the board, but they wanted other guys. This one, they literally identified these five guys as the guys they wanted. Now, there were other guys on the board like David Hicks and all that, but they like Jason Moore more than him, no pun intended, because he's a top 50 recruit. I mean, Keon Keeley and Brennan Vernon were the guys they wanted right away. That's why the first two commits of the class were last June was Brennan Vernon and Keon Keeley, back-to-back days. They visited together and popped right after. You know, and then, of course, Devin Houston has been a guy they've been pushing for. Bubakar is the interesting one because Jason they wanted from jump. Devin they wanted for a long time. Bubakar was the one where they went through some other edge players, the David Hickses and some of these other guys on the board, to kind of like, who's the guy we like the most? And then they went for Bubakar. Now, keep in mind, this has been a kid that had been committed to Boston College for over a year. And they got him, and he's from Mass. And so they were able to flip. You know, they're primarily the reason that he decommitted them in Michigan pushing for him. So, yeah, I think you could make a strong case that they batted 1,000. Once they zeroed in on, okay, here's who we want, I could think you can make the case that they batted 1,000 at the defensive line position. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good one.